I want to share with you a message that I'm very excited about. The Lord dropped this in my heart, and I believe that we need it, and I believe that the world needs it. I believe our church needs it. I believe I need it. It's called Turn Your Hope Up. Turn Your Hope Up. Right now, we are living in a world that is losing hope. Polls show that people are feeling more worried and less hopeful about life and about the future than ever before. People are losing the sense that good things are coming. Even here in America, the land of opportunity and hope, people are feeling like it's hopeless. And hopelessness is not good. It's the nail in the coffin, so to speak. People need hope to keep them engaged, alive, headed in a better direction. And without hope, people just simply give up. And we know what happens to people when they give up, right? They quit, and all of a sudden, everything begins to go downhill and die. And it's really no wonder that people of the world are hopeless, because let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. What is there to hope in without God? What should you hope in? Should you hope in the government? Oh, my. Well, the Democrats are going to save us. All the Republicans are going to save us. Oh, dear Lord, help us. Should we trust in, let's say, big tech, social media platforms, science, world leaders? I don't think so. And worst of all, should you trust in your own self? Come on, when you look in the mirror and you see you and you're honest with you, do you really think if it's up to you, there's any hope for us? I don't think so. So if we can't hope in the things of this world, the things that humanity's best can offer, then why should we hope at all? But you, Christian, you are not of this world. Amen. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. Our hope is not in man. It's not in government. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in the promises he's made and the words that he has said. Christians, you and I should be the most hope-filled people in the world. And yet there are many Christians, maybe you're here today, who've been walking around feeling hopeless. Hopeless about the condition and the future of the world around you. Have you ever looked around and just go, it's just useless. I give up. Look at all the craziness that's going on in our society and in our culture. You can feel hopeless about the world around you, and you can feel hopeless about your own life, your own situation. Feel like, you know, I've been pounding at this and trying and doing this, and I just throw my hands in the air, and you begin to feel like there's no future for you. There's no hope for you out there. I'm here to tell you today, that is not God's plan for your life. In fact, the Bible gives us many examples of how God expects us to be a people of hope. Have you been feeling hopeless? Hopeless about the world, hopeless about your situation. Have you been feeling hopeless about your future? Be honest with yourself. Have you been thinking of the future with a hopeless mindset, like it's never going to get better, it's just going to get worse? Are you hearing me today? I'm here to tell you that's not God's plan for you. In fact, let me read you just a few scriptures about hope. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Can somebody say praise God to that? Romans 15:13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 1:3-5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what comes or goes, these scriptures are meaningful, aren't they? "Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." That is our hope. Amen. Psalms 39:7, "And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you, Lord." And 1 Corinthians 13:13, "But now there abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. if you will allow me to, I want to just add a little bit to that sentence. This isn't in the Bible, but I think it maybe it could be, or it's implied in other places, amen. It says, first of all, it says, now there abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And let me add, but now there abides faith, hope, and love, but the most misunderstood and ignored of these is hope. Isn't that the truth? When we talk about faith, hope, and love, we're always talking about love, and we're always talking about faith, and hope is just kind of squished in the middle, and we never talk about it. And I feel like today that a lot of us are missing out on things that we should have because we don't have hope. We don't understand hope. We don't know how to use hope. We don't know how to put it into action in our lives. And because we don't, we're not headed where we should be headed. Follow me today. Faith is the substance. Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Faith is the substance. Hope is the direction or the destination. If you don't have hope, your faith has nowhere to go. It doesn't know where it's going. Hope is what gives your faith a place to go. Faith is the substance. Hope is the direction, and love is the reason. Come on, somebody. You with me today? Hallelujah. I want you to get that. If you don't have hope, then your faith has no direction to go in. Hope is the thermostat of your life. I heard a preacher talk about this before, and I'm going to elaborate on what he brought, but I really love this this metaphor that you can use. Think about this. Hope is the thermostat of your life. Hope sets the goal for the atmosphere of your life and your future. You have a thermostat in your house. In fact, back there behind Jonathan is a thermostat on the wall. A thermostat is what you use to set the temperature that you desire in the atmosphere. Amen. When you go into your house and it's too cold, what do? You set the thermostat so that it will become in the future what you want it to be. Amen. And when you're in your car, you set the thermostat so that it will become what you want it to be. I'm here to tell you that hope is what sets the future that you're going to be in. Hope is the thermostat of your life. Hope tells faith where it should be headed and what it should focus on. Are you with me today? And hope is not a thermometer. See, there's a difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer simply reads what the temperature is. A thermostat changes it. Come on, somebody. Amen. Some of us spend too much time focused on the thermometer and not enough time dealing with the thermostat. Are you with me today? Imagine that you're sitting in a cold house and you're just reading the thermometer. Our thermostat has a number that's in big letters that tells what the temperature is in the house. That's the thermometer. And the thermostat is in little numbers and it tells you where it's headed. And when it gets too cold in my house, I go over there and I hit that thermostat and I turn it up so the heat starts to come on. Come on, somebody. Or better, I should better say, when my wife gets cold in our house and she says, it's cold in here, then I go over there and I turn the thermostat where I feel like it'll make her comfortable. Are you with me today? You need both a thermometer and a thermostat, but your focus should not be on the thermometer. Imagine that I went into the house today and it was 65 degrees and I was cold in there and my wife was cold and we just talked about how it's so cold in the house and we didn't do anything about it. We never went over there and turned the thermostat up in order to get a better future for us. Come on, somebody. The thermostat doesn't tell you where it is. It's telling you where we're headed. Amen. It's telling you this is where it's going to be. In our lives, we need hope as the thermostat to tell us where we're headed. Come on, somebody. We need hope to tell us where we're headed in our life. Hope is the thing that pushes our faith in the right direction. Many of us are living, though, like we're just sitting in a cold house. We've got a thermostat on the wall called hope, but we don't understand how to use it, and we never use it. And we simply dwell upon what things are, how things are around us, and we can't change our situation as long as we're just focused on the way things are. What happens when you don't change your thermostat? When you just read the thermometer? When you're just looking at the world around you, you're looking at the thermometer, aren't you? When you just see how things are in the world and in the church and in your finances and in your health, and you just say, well, this is how it is. And we get good at describing how things are. Have you noticed that, like, as you get older, you talk more about the weather and stuff like that? And Kathy and I will talk, and part of our conversation will be, yeah, it's really cold out there. That wind is nippy, you know. And, well, it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't drizzling today. And just we can just describe how things are to a T. We can go into detail about things are. And that's how a lot of us are with our life. It's like we're really good at describing how things are. And you need to know where things are so you can make a decision about how things should be. Come on. But some of us, that's all we do. We spend time looking at the world around us, looking at our own situation, and we simply describe how things are. And then if you're not careful, you start describing how things are in a negative light. Come on. You start talking about how bad it is and how the neighbors are a problem. And how you're never going to get ahead. And how the money's always going to be problems for you. And how your health isn't improving. And how, you know, the doctor's overcharging you. You could just go on and on and on reading the temperature of your life. But it isn't doing you a bit of good. Come on. It's probably discouraging you today. When you're looking at your current condition, you're looking at the thermometer. You're just seeing how things are. And when you do that, when you don't change the thermostat in your home, you're at the mercy of whatever the weather around you produces. If it's hot, your house is going to get hot. If it's cold, your house is going to get cold. Come on. If you want to change the atmosphere in your home, you got to turn the thermostat and adjust it accordingly. We've had the heat on for a while, haven't we, this week? And now it's turned a little bit of that air on this afternoon probably and cool the house down a little bit because we're in Texas, right? And it doesn't know what it's supposed to do, the weather here. But you, if you don't change it, you're just going to live with whatever you get. And let me tell you something, Christian. If you don't set your hope, you're going to get whatever you get. It's just going to happen how it happens. And what if you had a thermostat in your life where you could change the temperature or the atmosphere of your life in the future, but you've got to do it. You've got to get up. You've got to do the work. You got to know how to do it and set your hope so your faith has a place to go. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. When you're looking at the thermometer only, you're not changing anything. And when you are at the mercy of whatever the weather around you produces, you can get hopeless, powerless, directionless. Your mind and your heart begins to get bitter and cold, and you begin to get grouchy. Come on, somebody. And you get negative. And you find you're thinking negative and you're feeling negative, and you're just looking for anything to lift you up because you've lost all hope. This is what happens when you simply read the temperature around you and don't do anything about it. But when you're looking at the thermostat, you're looking where things are headed, not just where they are, where they're headed. When I see that it's 65 degrees in the house, for us, that's too cold, and I need to change the atmosphere in our future. Amen? Amen. I need to change the atmosphere, so I go change the thermostat. I don't just complain that it's cold. I change the thermostat so it gets better in a few minutes. Amen. Are you with me today? When you're looking at the thermostat, you're looking at where things are headed. When you're looking at God and His Word, you're looking at the thermostat of your life. Amen. Set your hope upon God and His Word. When you set your hopes in God and His Word, you're setting the thermostat of your life. Because let me tell you something, there are a lot of things around you that are going to tell you how bad it is. Come on. Who has believed the report of the Lord? That's a question for us. Come on. Because we can believe the report of the man on the news. We can believe the report of our neighbor. You can believe the report of that negative cousin that you got that's always putting you down. You don't say his name, but I know you got one, right? You can believe the report of the boss or the bank account or anybody else. You can believe reports all around you, or you can believe the report of the Lord. What does God say about your situation? You see, when you set your thermostat according to what God says, all of a sudden the atmosphere in your life begins to change for the better. Come on. Hallelujah. Put your hopes in God and in His Word. And why, Christians, why do we have hope in the first place? Well, let me tell you why, because God is in control and He loves me. Amen. God is in control and He loves me. You need to say that from time to time. God is in control and He loves me. Amen. Also, we have hope because we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It doesn't matter how bad things get here on earth. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have hope because Jesus has made us victorious over sin and death. Can I tell you something? I know because of the promises of God that if I sin today, I'm not going to hell because of it. Because Jesus' blood has already covered me, amen? I need to repent of it and do better, right? But I know I have eternal life and that my actions, both good and bad, don't make me go to heaven or hell. My faith in Jesus does. Come on. I also know that if I was to die today, I am going to be straight in the presence of my God. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. This is why we're not supposed to be afraid of death and why we have such a great hope. I know we have hope today because Jesus is coming again too. Amen. Sometimes that's my greatest hope when I look at the world around me and I'm like, you know what? Jesus is coming again. Amen. Oh, we can never fix all these problems. We can never feed all these people. We can never solve all this stuff. You know what? But Jesus is coming again. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. He is our blessed hope. And let me just stop there for a minute, because let me tell you something. If God never does anything else for me in this life, this is enough for my joy to be complete, that Jesus loved me enough to save me, give me victory over sin and death, and the promise that he's coming back for me so I can live with him forever. If he does nothing else, that's enough for me, amen? But I got good news for you today. That's not all God has promised you today. Praise his wonderful name. He has promised that he is your help in time of trouble. He is with me. He is in me. He is upon me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I have been made more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Hallelujah. When hurdles come in my life, I just jump right over them. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you'll have problems in this world, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Bless his name. Oh, God is with me now, in my situation now. I'm not waiting for goodness when I get to heaven. I got goodness right now. I'm not waiting for the miraculous when I get to heaven. I got miracles right now. Come on, somebody. Glory to his name. So go ahead, read the thermometer in your life and see what the atmosphere is like in your life and in your world. And if you don't like it, use the thermometer of hope to change it. How many of you are with me today? Hope will change the atmosphere of your life. In your health, you're not happy with your health? Start believing God that you're going to get healthier. Amen? Amen. Come on. A six-pack for Joe. Would you pray with me today? It'll probably come in the form of a six-pack of Coke or something like that, but maybe Diet Coke. I don't know what's good for you, brother. Whatever it is, in your finances. Come on, sometimes we can look at our finances and go, you know, it's just getting worse and the economy's getting bad and inflation is so high and them people in Congress, you know, we can just really focus on the negative and start losing hope about our finances. But what if we hope for good things? Hey, man, what if we hope for better jobs? What if we hope for better things in our life, better finances in our life? Praise the Lord. I serve a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he owns the hills as well. I serve a God who's preparing a place where the streets are made of pure gold. He's not broke. He's not without. He's not worried about the bills. Hallelujah. Set your hope on the promises of God. What about in your family? Are you having family problems, marriage problems? Are you dealing with difficulties with your kids, whatever it may be? And the devil's been telling you, look, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. You better stay up and worry some more. You tell the devil to shut up and you get your hopes up. And you tell the devil that things are going to get better in the name of Jesus. You tell him that your relationship is going to get better and your kids are going to do better. And there's a turning point in your family, amen. What about in your career? What about in your ministry? What about in our church? What about in your neighborhood? What about in our country? What if we got our hopes up? What if we looked at the world around us, the thermometer of our lives, and we decided, okay, I can see where it is. It's a little cold right now, and I'm going to go ahead and take the thermostat, and I'm going to turn it up a little bit. I'm going to set the atmosphere of my future in the way I believe God wants me to set it, amen, and change the expectation for your future. Things don't have to stay like they are because God's given us hope. Hope is the place that our faith can go to. Amen. So if you're sick and you've been sick in your body, start giving yourself a destination. Start seeing yourself healed, healthy, and whole. Sometimes, let's be honest, when you're sick, and this is just one example. And maybe you got, let's say you got a bad back, and it's been bothering you, and it's been limiting your life, and you're concerned about your future, and how you're going to pay a doctor to help you, all of the junk that goes along with having a bad back. And it's just been on you, and it's been on you, and you keep thinking about it, and it's getting you feeling down. And then you get down to pray. And when you pray, you do a great job describing your atmosphere to God. God, it's so bad. It hurts so much, and it's bothering me, and there's all these problems. It reminds me of the other Israelites who described Goliath to a T. They said he's so tall, and he's got a spear that's a certain width and a certain height, and he's defeated so many of these enemies. They gave Goliath praise by knowing him so well. Sometimes we know our problem better than we know our God. Come on. We can describe our problem to a T. I remember Kathy, she was diagnosed with scleroderma in 2011, and praise God, the story of how God has been a continuous miracle in her life and in her body. But her doctors told her, you need to get this one book, which is the Bible of the disease of scleroderma, right? And so I got the book online, and she read, I don't know, maybe a page or two, and then she told me I can't read it. And you know why? I figured it out. You know why? Because the more attention we gave our problem, the more we were glorifying it. We don't want to know all about scleroderma. We don't want to know all about our sickness. We don't want to dwell on it. We don't want to sit at the thermostat of our health and talk about how things are. No, we want to declare that our God is going to heal us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turn up the hope in your life. Turn up the hope in your life. You can read the thermometer, but you got to set the thermostat, which is your hope. Hope will change the atmosphere of your life. It will change your future. So I'm going to close with this. How do you change the thermostat? How do you turn up the hope in your life and in your situation? Well, first of all, don't get focused on the thermometer. Don't spend all your time describing how things are. I've said this before. Any monkey can tell you how things are. Anybody can tell you what's wrong with it. You ever have somebody, that like your car won't start, and they come up to you and say, yeah, the battery's probably dead. And you're like, why didn't I think of that? I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that, right? Anybody can tell you what's wrong with it. Come on. We don't need to be those kind of people that just really good at describing what our problems are. We're not ignoring our problems. We're not going to lie about our problems. We're not going to say that we don't feel pain when we do feel pain. We're going to be honest, but we're also going to say, you know what? God is my healer, amen. God is my deliverer. God is my provider. Bless his name. Don't focus on how things are. Get focused on how things should be and set the temperature. Focus on God and his word. What is God's will for your life? Where should you place your hope? Start with the Word of God. Amen. Start with the Word of God. If it's your health, Jesus said this, I am willing that you be made whole. Amen. They came to him, and the leper said, if you're willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I'm willing. Come on, you go to God and you say, God, do you want me to be healed? He's going to say, I'm willing. Yeah, I'm willing. Yes, hallelujah. What about money? Does God want to provide for you? I don't know. Does his word say that he'll provide for you all of the things that you need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord? Does the Bible say that if you focus on the kingdom of God and you put it first, that all these other things shall be added unto you? If you know the word and the promises of God, you can put your hopes in the promises of God. Control what happens in your mind and in your heart. Did you know that you can control how you feel and how you think? I just say it. It just comes out of me. I just can't help but think it. Yeah, you can, child of God. The Holy Spirit gives you self-control, and that is the control to mind yourself. Change the way you think. If you start finding yourself dwelling on things you shouldn't dwell on, dwelling on the negative or the thermometer of your life, just change the way you think. Just say, you know what? I'm not thinking about that anymore. And every time it tries to crop up, just start quoting scriptures that are the antithesis of what the present is. Amen. If you're feeling unhealthy, just start quoting scriptures about how you are healed, healthy, and whole because Jesus is healing you. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Focus on God and his word. Control what you set your mind on. Control how you feel. You can change how you feel. You can decide, I don't want to feel this way anymore. It's been decades now, but I remember when I was a young man and I was a Christian and I was just unhappy a lot. And, you know, I kept waiting for everything to be right around me to be happy. I thought if I could get the money I need, if I could get the ministry I need, if I could get this situation worked out, then I'd be happy. And as soon as you get one of those things fixed, what happens? Something else comes along, right? And you're continually waiting for everything around you to make you happy. And then the Holy Spirit helped me realize that if I'm going to be happy, I just got to decide to be happy. And did you know a switch flipped in me that day? And I'm not here to tell you that I'm always on top of the world, but I'm generally a happy person because I choose to be, rather than being a person who is just walking in my feelings according to what happens around me. And you have the power to do that too. You have the power to change the way you think about things, to control what goes on in your mind and in your heart. When you don't control how you feel and how you think, it's kind of like being in your house with the windows and doors open. You can set the thermostat to where you want it to go, but it's going to be really hard to get where it needs to go because you got the windows and doors open. And when you're continually bombarded with negative stuff in your mind and in your heart and in your feelings and in your actions and in your words, all of this stuff is negative on your life, and it's keeping the thermostat from pushing you where you need to go. So you need to get control of how you think. Come on. You need to get control of how you feel. If you feel angry at your neighbor or your coworker, decide today I'm going to love them. I remember I've had a person that I've known for a long time, and he's a fellow minister, and he just rubbed me the wrong way for a long time. I didn't like him. I loved him because I had to, but I didn't like him. I'm like, Lord, just, you know, make his mansion on the other side of heaven, and we'll be good. Until, oh, Lord, I want my mansion close to Diane, because, you know, it's going to be fun there. Hallelujah. But the Lord spoke to me one day and said, I want you to help him. I'm like, what are you? Have you lost your mind? Can I tell you something? When you start getting resentful towards someone, the Lord will cure that by telling you, you're going to be the one to help them. And that person has become one of my very best friends and supporters in life. And I'm just thankful for that because it changed my attitude about him. Because God said, do this, I had to change my attitude. I couldn't show up and minister and help and love and compassion and be friendly and kind with a bad attitude. So I had to once again decide to change my attitude. You can change your heart and your mind and your words. Change how you think. Change how you feel. Change what you say. Change what you do. Do things differently if you need to do them differently. And that will help you turn the thermostat. Get your hopes headed in the right direction. Come on. Come on. If you're feeling blue and down and sad all the time, why do you keep watching stuff on television that brings you a sadness and makes you blue all the time? Why are you hanging out with people that always got something negative to say? Maybe you need to cut some folks off from your life for a little bit. Amen. Maybe you need to open up the Bible more often. Come on. Maybe you need to pray a little more often and let good stuff get into your mind and your heart. Let good things come out of your mouth. One of the best things you can do is put a filter on your face and stop bad things from coming out of your mouth. Did you know you will build your future with your words if you're not careful? So if you say everything's going to pot, guess what? There's a pot in your future for everything to go in. But if you say God's going to work this out and good things are coming my way, can I tell you, if it comes out of your mouth, you are speaking your future. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I am going to believe God for great things in my life and in my future. I got to be honest with you today. I have sometimes in this past couple years felt hopeless. I looked at the situation around me and the world around me and the finances and the people and the problems that we've had. And sometimes it's felt hopeless to me. But I'm going to believe God for great things in my life. I'm not going to dwell at the thermometer of Mile and Avery. I'm going to get to the thermostat and start changing things. I'm going to set my expectation high. Can you say praise the Lord? And I know some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, what if I get my hopes up and then God doesn't do what I ask him to do? You know what? There's a simple solution to that. It's like this. When you ask God for something and he doesn't give it to you, what you need to say is, well, he must have had something better for me. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. It's like the father that he bought a new car for his child that was turning 16, a brand new car. And the child came to him a little ahead of time and said, Dad, I found a used car and I want you to buy it for me. And Dad said, no, I can't buy it for you. No, I'm not buying you that car. And he was disappointed. He wanted that used car. What he didn't know is his dad had a brand new one at the dealership waiting his way. Amen. If you lose a job, God's got a better one for you. If you lose some money, God's got more coming your way. If you have difficulties with friendships, God can restore them or give you a new one. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? Set your hopes up. If we don't turn the hope up in our life, then our faith has nowhere to go. But I'm going to believe God for some wonderful things. Some of the stuff, child of God, that you've been dealing with, I'm going to set my hopes up for you too. That God's going to heal you. God's going to change things for you. God's going to help you overcome the odds and do some things you've never done before. I'm going to believe God and set my hopes up for our church, amen, that God's going to do amazing, miraculous, wonderful things in our midst. I'm not believing God for a big building. Let me tell you that right now. A big building is a tool that comes when you need it. I'm believing God that you and I are going to get good at leading people to Jesus and getting them in the house of God and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, amen, and that they're going to get saved, genuinely born again and baptized and full of the Holy Ghost, and they're going to go out and do the same thing, amen, and the building will follow. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you with me today? I'm going to set my hopes up because we got a big God, amen. And in the end, if I don't make it past tomorrow, I have eternal life with Jesus Christ, my Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. How about it today?